And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
All right. And it's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. Marcus Thompson in Memphis, Tennessee with his Warriors. Man, what you having for lunch, man?
Blue City Cafe. I'm getting the half rack. You know what I'm saying? Dude, for the culture.
That's nice. For the culture. See, man, that's why I can't. I gotta be honest. That's why I'm kind of rooting for the Grizzlies. Because if I go to the conference finals, I wanna go to Memphis, man. I haven't been to Memphis in a minute. So, all due respect to the Bay. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you can't come back no more. I mean, are you kidding me?
But you aren't even in Oakland no more, man. Y'all in San Francisco now, so it's not even
just
like you're in Oakland.
Bridge
so.
Away. You good?
All right, our guest this week, our favorite on the show, and he's back. You can hear him on Sirius NBA XM Radio doing the NBA Today show. Our man Eddie Johnson, AJ, is back talking Suns. What's up, man?
I'm good, man. You know we're up 1-0. So I'm in a good mood right now.
All right, so let me ask you right off the jump, man. Why do you argue with fools on Twitter?
That was my first question too.
Okay, let me. I don't want to give my secret out, but I will. Okay. You know, when I played the game, right? We were very much confined. Like as an athlete, you had to watch what you can say. Yes. And you had to be cognizant of people saying things to you, and you couldn't say anything back. And so I grew up in a family of seven. I grew up in a family like, you know, we were lucky to get two meals a day. And so what we would sit around and do was just crack on each other and laugh ourselves to sleep because we'd be hungry. And so, you know, I just grew up in a generation where guys like signify, man, and talk junk. You know, but be respectful in doing it. But that's what I did. And I had to bite my tongue a lot in my career. You know, I couldn't do that when I was with my buddies. You know, yeah. So what people are getting, they're getting Eddie Johnson. Like, you know, the Eddie Johnson they saw when I played was the, well, how are you? How are you doing? Everything fine?
Okay. Now they're getting
the real deal. And you know what? I just like calling them stoops out, man. You know, I like putting people in their place. But I'll pick certain guys to go at. I don't really respond to everything. And I laugh at it. They think they're ticking me off. That's the funny part. It's like I'm just laughing because you can control people that way. And I have fun doing it.
You know, I appreciate the fact that you aren't too regal to get in the mud with the people. I like that you're down to roll up your sleeves and mix it up, you know, with the fans and with the regular humans. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that, even though if I were you, I probably wouldn't give them the time of day. I would be on my high horse, EJ. I would be like, you can't talk to me. How many points have you scored in the NBA? But you are such a man of the people that you get in there with them. Like, yo, let's trade these
cards. You know what, though? Honestly, though, it's going to come a time when I'm not going to say anything. And that's part of it, too. It's going to come a time when I'm just going to tweet and not respond. And it's going to bother them to no end. Trust me, it's going to bother them. And so, you know, for me, man, it's just like, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, look, I'm a motivational speaker. I talk for a living all around. And I enjoy it. And I enjoy moving people in their thoughts and their mindset, changing their mind. I mean, I've always been that way, even as a player. You talk to guys I played with, they'll tell you. They'll tell you. There's only a few guys that I've ever played with that can back me down and make me work when I talk. Mike Woodson, okay? former NBA yeah. player, not head coach at the University of Indiana, Mark yeah. Jackson. Okay? And to a point, Gary Payton. All right? Mm-hmm. Gary was more like rambunctious with his responses and all of that, right? But those three guys, if you interview them, they'll tell you that that's what we did. And so for me, man, I enjoy it. I enjoy the back and forth. I enjoy testing people and getting them to think. Just like that thing I put out the other day on, you know, the qualifications to vote for the player awards in the NBA. Right, a lot of people thought I was 100% serious. I was serious to a point. It was basically saying that, you know, I don't like the way the voting went this year. I don't. And so that was just my way of just sending the message. But, you know, you just have fun with it.
Man, I want to get into that because I think I know you can, it's about, you know, not letting people get the wrong words in. But I think you also are trying to educate. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me like you're trying to educate people on what's important in the game. And I have this unending discussion about these things because I feel like the groupthink is so prevalent now that everybody in a desire to be viewed as hyper knowledgeable
right.
about the game, the modern NBA game. I mean, the game is put the ball in the basket, isn't it? I mean, that's the game. Like, so
simple game.
How you put the ball in the basket is up to you.
People
you
make know what it I mean? Hard. So, simple game, but yeah. people make it
Yeah. So I feel, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think when you push back on some of these people on Twitter, I think it's also saying, look, there's more than one way to understand the game, appreciate the game, and be knowledgeable about the game. It doesn't, right. you don't have to memorize every advanced stat on whatever advanced stat website you like to be knowledgeable about the game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I tell people they're being led by somebody that's in a cubicle and they never had their head up. Oh, look, all respect to people in analytics. These are smart, brilliant people. And I applaud you for being able to get into sports and be a major part of it. I'm not hating you on that. I think you're brilliant individuals. But I don't want to listen to you. I have a choice. Right. I don't want to listen to you because you're messing up my game. You're truly messing it up. You know, you turn it into a robotic mindset. And that's what I just try to tell people. It's like, you got to look past the stats. I was a basic stat guy. Of course, I wanted to shoot a good percentage. I looked at my rebounds. I looked at all of that. But I didn't want to see a stat that makes an excuse for somebody shooting bricks because they've taken more threes. No.
Well, it's funny.
Don't take damn threes.
You showed and you educated me, Eddie. I mean, I had to go, you know what? He's right. Because my instinct was when Utah's playing, Utah played Dallas in the first round and Bogey gets a wide open shot, but he also has a wide open lane to the basket, which would have tied the game and sent it to overtime. But instead he did what we all say you're supposed to do now, which is take a step back and shoot the three. And you were like, that's stupid. He had a layup, would have tied the game. And I had to go, you know what? I think Eddie's right on this one. Even though my instinct initially was, well, it was a good shot. He got a wide open three to win it. Don't you have to take that? But your point is, but he could have driven the lane, probably maybe gotten an A-1. At the least, he would have gotten a layup to tie the game. I had to concede that that's...
Also,
that's
the part,
fair. That's a good
also
point.
The part I think people miss is, I mean, you could be a good three-point shooter, but when all the chips are on the table, when all the marbles are down, right, your percentages don't matter. EJ, you know this. It's the one who hit big. Everybody don't hit big shots. It ain't the same percentage as some first quarter three, right? Like, you gotta have something in you. So I understand he's a 40% shooter, but is he a 40% shooter in a moment like that? That, to me, that's the part people miss.
Look, man, they glorify these three-point shooters, right? They glorify Duncan Robinson. They glorify Davis Bertans. And they both got paid $80 million. Okay? All right? I scored 19,000 points, and I'll add 202 to it as well. Okay? They'll never sniff it. They'll never sniff it. I average 1 3 a game in my entire freaking career. So don't tell me a three is worth more than a freaking two. It's not. Like, when you watch the Suns play, you know, hey, Dallas was chucking up a ton of threes last night. Cleveland looked really good. They were still down 20. I mean, it's like rhythm, man. It's like, you know, if you Bogdanović, who is a very good driver of the ball, okay, he's a good post-up player, and he has a very good mid-range game. You're at home, dude. Tie the game up.
Yeah.
Give yourself another 5 minutes. Why you want to go for a home run? And you're at home and you know you're going to get eliminated. I grew up in an era, man, where you take what you can get. You take what you can get. You don't roll the dice. Like, you know, if somebody offered me to do a job back in the day when I was young, they'd say, look, you know, I'll pay you 10. Now, I know you should probably pay me 20. But I'm going to take the damn 10. Because I ain't had nothing. And right there, Utah had nothing. Like, zero. You're going to lose. If you miss, you're going to lose. You're going home. It wasn't game three. You know, it wasn't game four. It was an elimination game. And he rolled the dice. If I was a teammate of his, he and I would have gotten to it in the locker room. I'm telling you right now, we would have gotten to it. I'm like, hey, dude, you messed with my money on that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that happens? Do you think that people, it still happens in locker rooms when, now, I'm not talking about necessarily that particular play, but you think guys still step to other guys, or is everybody like, oh, well, you know, the analytics said that that's a good shot because it's your, you know, it's in your heat zone or whatever, you know? Do you think guys have those real conversations?
I think a lot of guys get a little disturbed by the analytic mindset and what is presented to them after games or during the course of a season. I do. I've had conversations with guys where they feel like, you know, just think about it, guys. You got a guy come up to you and say, hey, man, you shoot the ball better on the left side than the right side. So you should pretty much stay over there and, you know, be aggressive on the left side. Look, dude, no, show me how to get better on the right side. I don't want you to tell me what I can't do. Tell me how I can get better at it. You know what? They can't. That's the point. They can't. All they can do is give you numbers. They can't make it better. And so they'll teach you basically without the motivational skills to actually teach you. They can just give you what you should do. I mean, damn, if you had went to college and you had a professor just walk in and put stuff on the board and walk out, I think a lot of us would have failed. You know, I mean, you want somebody to explain something to you and make it better. They don't do that. And a lot of players struggle with it. They really do.
Your team doesn't seem to be struggling with it. We were talking about robotic earlier. Probably the most robotic element of the NBA today is Phoenix in the clutch, right? Like, if it's a close game, like, we already know what's happening, right? That's
50-0 when they lead after three quarters.
I mean, it's 1.9 right points per possession.
They're like Goldberg and shit. You know what I mean?
What do you attribute that to? Obviously, you got like Devin Booker, Chris Paul, like you got you know, place to score every spot. But what do you attribute the rhythm and the sync that they have when it's crunch time?
Balance, the balance of everything they're about. They take the best possible shot. That's basically what it is. And they're unselfish. And they're led by one of the best leaders in the history of the game, Chris Paul. Yeah. He keeps everything balanced. His voice is, I don't understand how that guy talks as much as he does. He talks more than us, guys. All right, that's what we do for a living now. He's playing basketball, still talking. But he's always teaching. He's always teaching. And those guys understand. You know, you take the best possible shot. You know, you rarely will see us catch the ball inside the three and take a step back and shoot it. You rarely see it. They basically take what's presented to them. And I think that exudes confidence. That helps you get out of stuff. Case in point, in the New Orleans Pelicans series, we couldn't shoot the ball from three at all, right? We were shooting horribly. But guess what? We still shot 50% as a team. We still shot 50% as a team, although not shooting well from three, 15%, 12%. And we still won the series because we still know how to go get buckets. And that's what makes them a big clutch time team, guys, is they just know the correct shot to take. And then Chris Paul's just, man, look, you all saw it. I mean, what he did to the Pelicans in that game six was ridiculous, man.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What have you, you are a professional basketball player, so I don't mean to say like you learned something watching Chris Paul. You've seen everybody who was great for a long time. But what do you appreciate as somebody who played the game at the highest level about the way Chris Paul plays?
He gets on his play, he gets on his teammates, but he also teaches them and he pats them on the back. A guy once told me that. A guy used to play in the league, Rich Kelly. Stanford Rich was a great guy, man. He's one of them guys, mm-hmm. man, techies, like they are. His suit coat, his sport jacket, his sleeves were up to here. He just was a funny guy, 7 footer, love him to death. And he told me one day, he said, Eddie, you got to be a better leader. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, you don't listen to people. This is when I was young. I'm trying to make money. I think I'm doing my best, lead the team in scoring, second in rebounds. He said, you're not doing enough. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he says, you need to figure people out. And he said, you said something to me last week. He said, why am I always staring at people? And Eddie, I'm going to tell you why. Because in order to get to know somebody, you got to stare and figure them out. You got to watch them when they actually aren't conversing with you. And then you'll know how to approach them. And you'll know what to say to them to maybe get them to respond and how far to go. And when he told me that, man, I started working with that, man, and I became so good at it that, it really helped me as a player and as a person. And I think that's the key, man. That's what Chris Paul is, man. He might talk a lot and he might get on guys, man, but he's over there, man, patting guys down, telling guys it's his fault and explaining to them why he's doing it. And that's the most beautiful part of what I've experienced being around.
Chris Paul is obviously one of the all-time greats, right? But, man, do we really understand and appreciate how good Devin Booker is? And how does he handle this idea that, like, he's so good so often that it doesn't really get the consideration it deserves, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, because he does it all the time, it's not – I guess it's special, but he does it all the time, despite the fact that he's not getting the credit for it. So talk to me about that.
You're right. I take exception to people when they say, well, if you got two good players on there, no way they can win MVP. See, that's the Jokic narrative to vote for him because they want to quote unquote say he doesn't have anybody else. That's always been the fallback, right? I mean, MJ was winning MVP, so Scottie couldn't play him. Dennis Rodman couldn't play. Really? I mean, Larry Bird won MVP. McHale couldn't play. Robert Parrish couldn't play.
Right.
Dennis Johnson. What Magic won? Green couldn't play. I mean, James Worthy wasn't that good. Give me a freaking break. I mean, like, early this year when Chris Paul took off, I said Chris Paul. But when Chris got injured, it eliminated him. I'm about the 82-game season. And then Devin took off. I mean, Devin took off, man, and he finished with a bang. And you're right. I thought he was worthy of more praise for MVP because historically, when a guy puts up the numbers that he did and you have the best record in the league, that guy normally has a great chance of winning a title.
It was automatic. It used to be automatic.
Yeah. Automatic. This Jokic drives me nuts. I love Jokic. I think he's tremendous. I do. Yeah. But come on, man, he won it last year because of the stats, and you said that he didn't have anybody, and he got it. Okay, fine. You don't double down on it. Westbrook followed up his triple-double. They didn't give it back to him.
No, they did not. They did not.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And what bothered me about the Jokic thing is not him. It was the idea that if you thought Embiid was the MVP, or if you thought Giannis was the MVP, you were hating on Jokic. And I'm like, I'm not hating on Jokic. And I voted for Jokic, but I'm like, I understand if you think Embiid had a better year. He had a great year, you know? Like,
led the league
Giannis
in scoring.
Had a great year.
That rarely happens.
Yeah, right.
And so top four in his
conference.
They're
allowed to have a different opinion. Yes, you know what I mean? In a much harder conference, in my opinion, but neither here nor there. So, Eddie, the other thing I don't think gets a lot of attention with the Suns, and it's in contrast to me to what's happening with Philly right now with Embiid hurt. And look, nobody's going to win with their best player out in the playoffs. I understand that. But when you look at Phoenix last year, when Ayton was in foul trouble against the Bucks, they got boat raced. Right. By Milwaukee. Right. They got crushed by Milwaukee in those minutes. Right. And they went out and brought in JaVale McGee and Bismack Biyombo and have completely shut that out. And you compare that to Philly, which still doesn't have any credible guy to back up Embiid. And I just wonder about, you know, the job that James Jones has done. Not just building the roster, but continuing to improve the roster when there was an obvious need after the finals last year.
Yeah, you know, because look, we're a small team, really, other than the three big guys that we had. Everybody else is pretty much 6'7", 6'8", 6'6". So we're really not a big team. I laugh when people say we're a big team. But we had to learn how to defend against bigs. And at the end last year, Dario Saric had gotten injured, and he was a big body that we could at least use for a few minutes, right?
Right, 6 miles.
Yeah, Frank Kaminsky wasn't playing. So we didn't really have any big bodies past DeAndre. And he was on an island with Giannis. He wasn't used to being out there guarding that guy and then having to go down there and be active offensively. And I thought it wore him down. You know, first time going this long, you know, to a playoff run. Yeah. A lot of factors came into play there. And the Suns went out and did what they had to do. They went out and got JaVale. They went out and got Bismack. Now, the two times we played Milwaukee this year, Giannis wasn't that dominant because we went with two big guys. And we forced Milwaukee to go a little bit smaller so we wouldn't keep the two big guys on the court. So that's what the Suns have different this year in that – no, nobody is going to be able to pump them in the paint and really basically Giannis. That's basically who it is. I think they're definitely prepared for it.
EJ, can you – I need the motivational speaker in you to talk about JaVale McGee, man. Like, this dude – I mean, last night I was just – I'm watching the game and he picks Luka out by the three-point line, leads the break, and finishes it in a dunk. And this guy's career, you know, he began as a guy who was kind of goofy. You know, they didn't think he was serious.
He was a punchline.
He's got
three
rings, an Olympic championship, and could get a fourth one this year. Can you just talk about what JaVale represents, man, and how far he's come and why he's so pivotal to that team?
All due respect to Jay Crowder, obviously Mikal Bridges, who's a machine, okay? This dude is the hardest working dude per minute he is on the floor for us. And he's a professional. Like, he'll not play a lot of minutes certain game, doesn't sulk, shows back up the next game, gives optimum effort. The fact that Shaq made fun of him early in his career and people made fun of him, I thought helped him mature. Like, sometimes you need it. I think if JaVale looks back on it, he would admit that he did some boneheaded things when he was young because he has some athleticism that I think exudes the ability for him to be spectacular, as you saw last night with the steal on Luka. He's just never been on a team past his first 2 years where he was like maybe second or third. And so he's always had to play a role. And I think that's the issue with him. But, man, right now, man, he is a huge find for us. I mean, he is extremely professional. He's one of the most professional basketball players I've been around.
I mean, he's saying that about a guy with a gold grill mouthpiece. You know what I'm saying? EJ, would you wear the gold grill mouthpiece? You can't do it.
I'm not going there, man. I can't go there, man. You know, that's from everybody that live in the South. See, down in Atlanta, down in Mississippi. That's the go-to move. And I'm okay with it. You know, it's where you grow up at. You know, I grew up in Chicago. You know, so hey, teach his own.
It's funny. I wanted to ask you about that. You grew up in what I think is the great era of Chicago basketball. Who does not get the love that they should get that came out in your time, in your era from Chicago? Because I think about, like, everybody knows Isaiah and everybody knows.
Let me tell you before you say his name.
Okay.
It's my high school teammate, Mark Aguirre.
Okay.
Look, Mark would have wound up as one of the, he would have wound up with like Carmelo Anthony numbers if he had stayed in Dallas.
Yes, that's a good.
He was unstoppable.
That's a very good comp. Yeah, that's a very good comp. Yeah.
Yes, was he moody? Did he do some things during his career in Dallas where they still haven't even retired his jersey, which is a joke? But you know, did he hurt himself? Yes, he did. But you can't doubt his effectiveness when he was between the lines. And when he was okay with going to Dallas and playing a role, and actually, he, Isaiah, and I all grew up in the same neighborhood. You know, we've all been close. But Mark and Isaiah are extremely close. And so when Isaiah got him to come over to Detroit, he told him, hey, man, it's not going to be like you are in Dallas. You have to play a role. And Mark was all for it. You know, he even told them to put Dennis Rodman in the starting lineup and take him out. Yes. So, you know, and guess what? He won two titles. So at the end of his career, he did everything possible to make amends for what people might look at him for when he was in Dallas. And I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. If you're going to put Tim Hardaway in the Hall of Fame, and all due respect, Tim Hardaway Sr., good for him. Congratulations. But if Tim Hardaway Sr. is going to get in the Hall of Fame, Mark Aguirre should be in there. Okay? If Chris Muller's in the Hall of Fame, Mark Aguirre should be in there. You know, you can go on down the line, put his numbers up against anybody. Should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, and so, yeah, that's the one guy I would say.
You know my one guy, D.A.? Sleep on. Well, mostly because the modern generation is so bent on three-pointers now. But people don't know about Hersey Hawkins, man. Hersey was a bucket. I used to love watching Hersey.
But he went to my high school as well. He went to Western High
School. Oh, did he? Right?
Oh, damn. He went there after me, obviously, after I left. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Hawk was smooth now.
Oh, yeah. Bucket.
Hawk was smooth.
Oh, yeah.
So, Eddie, break down this series with Dallas. Obviously, Phoenix up 1-0, and they kind of took their foot off the gas, and Dallas got back in the fourth quarter. But when the game was being decided, Phoenix was in command and in control, and it looked to me like it was like, Lucas, score as many as you want. We're going to shut everybody else down. Like, I mean, if I'm wrong, please tell me.
Old school mentality, D.A. Yeah, that's old school mentality. Like, I don't care how great your defense is, you're not stopping great offense. Like, I was an offensive player. I didn't fear anybody on defense. I respected some guys. Like, I respected Scottie Pippen, Derek McKee, Lonnie Shelton. Now, I think you'll probably see where I'm going with this. Those are all guys that were rangy. Like, they can be off of me, but yet when I raise that ball up, they're right there in my face. Yeah. Those are the only dudes that bothered me. MJ didn't bother me, greater defender as he was. Alvin Robinson didn't bother me because it didn't matter. Once I got the ball over my shoulder, dude, you out of the mix. And with Luka, man, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you do to him, what you put on him, he's going to score. He has an ultra green light. He's going to score. So if that's the case, like you would do with MJ, like you would do with Alex English back in the day, you don't double them dudes. Yeah. If you double them, then you're going to open up another can of worms. They still going to score. Right. And then they're going to pick you apart. Right. So no, go ahead, get you 40. Go on, get you 40, get you 50. Mm-hmm. And we'll win. And I think that's the philosophy that you should carry on. A lot of coaches don't do it in today's game. They're worried about reputation, and they see the embarrassment factor of somebody out there getting a bunch of points. Doesn't matter. I mean, Monty Williams is not like that. He's old school personified. Obviously, he grew up in the coaching aspect with Greg Popovich, and he understands that. And so that's how Pop would coach. Ain't no double team. Luka can keep going what he wants to do. They don't want him to just start spreading it around and destroying them on top of that.
PG County, baby. Speaking of rangy, you got to love watching Mikal Bridges every night, right?
Now, he's a guy that I would hate to guard.
He is a nightmare. I feel like he should have won Defensive Player of the Year, but he's one of my favorite players. But we obviously know he can play defense. Does he miss? Is he going to miss in this postseason? I mean, I feel like as long as he's getting buckets, like, Phoenix is almost unstoppable. As long as he's doing it, it feels like as he's going along, his shot is getting more money.
Listen, he's our third best mid-range player, okay? He's probably our second best post-up player, all right? There you go. People don't realize that. I mean, he's pretty much, if he gets the advantage in the post, you can't block his shot. His arms, he can be in the other room. I feel sorry for his kids. Because he could be in the other room. He can just reach in their room and slap if they act up. I'm serious, man.
Hop him on the button.
So he gives up a lot for the good of the team. But the dude's an Iron Man, man. I mean, he hasn't missed a game in his NBA career. And he led the league in minutes played this season. And he never gets tired. I mean, think about what he did against the Pelicans. I mean, he had 31 points, and then he followed up with 18. And he played, sat down, I think, in the two games, 6 minutes. And he guarded both Ingram and McCollum. I mean, who does that? I mean, the great defenders didn't do that. Kawhi Leonard didn't do that like he did. I mean, and that was the most recent great defender. MJ didn't do that. You know, it's like, that's pretty much impossible. But that guy's motor is sick, man. He doesn't get tired. He's a freak of nature, without a doubt.
Marcus, I may have to Bogart some people. If it's Phoenix, Golden State in the West Finals, I might have to Bogart some people and pull ranking and show up for the first time in 2 years.
Scottsdale in the Bay? What?
It'll be a good one, man.
Dude, I might have to just pull rank.
the best player on Golden State right now, Jordan Poole, man. He's dangerous. That's just a joke.
That's a joke.
Golden State fans. I'm just kidding.
I know. We're watching that New Orleans series, and a lot of people took the thing like, okay, they're in trouble, right? Lost two games to New Orleans. Yeah. It looks like the vulnerability. But then watching game one, it looked like it might have been a good cup of coffee, right? New Orleans gave a good little jolt, woke them up. You think that series was good for them, the challenge that New Orleans presented?
Without a doubt. I mean, you win 64 games. Look, the Suns probably could have won 70 games. But at the end of the season, they kind of like, after they secured everything, home court advantage, I mean, do you go for a record like Golden State did and they got beat in the finals? Okay, we're here now. We got it. We're going to try to get rest. And that's what the Suns did. And they let their guard down, and they lost some games at the end of the season. And they probably could have been mentioned as one of those all-time great teams if they had won 67-plus games. And they gave that up. And I think, I think New Orleans stretched them. I think, Brandon Ingram and C.J. McCollum is a problem. Like, they can do it on a catch. They can do it off the dribble. And then Valanciunas, man, look, I'm telling y'all, look, I don't want to see them lose next year. That dude guarantees them that they're going to get at least 8 to 10 offensive rebounds a game.
Yeah.
And that was our issue. Yes, I mean,
and then Nance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's a different team than Dallas. Dallas is more, they're going to stand around the three, man. And look, Dallas, they might win a game in this series by shooting the threes unbelievable. And that's happened to the Suns this year. I mean, Miami came in here early in the year and was lights out from three, beat us. New Orleans, I think, at the end of the year, came in, beat us. I mean, so every now and then a team gets hot from three, they're going to beat you. And that's what Dallas relies on, man. They take a ton of threes. But over the course of seven games, I just find it hard to think you can win four times against the Suns when they're going to shoot an insane field goal percentage from the field.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let me get you out on this, man, because I know Marcus got to jump. There's almost nothing talk. There's almost no discussion about Sarver right now. None. I just wonder how important it is for the team to not to, because you always want to win. That's right. Not what I mean. But it's how important is it to the franchise, I guess, that the Suns are having this incredible two-year run where they are just on top of the league, and it's all about how they're playing, and it's about Monty Williams being one of the great human beings in our league, just a tremendous human being, and the success that they're having while that is still going on. How important
is that? I think it just says a lot to the concentration of our organization in that, you know, it didn't get down to the players. Right, because that's why we're all here. It's for the players. For them to go out and be ready to contribute, be ready to compete and succeed. And so I think the professionalism, once all that did go down, I think, you know, you have to applaud that. You have to applaud the leadership at different levels to be able to not allow it to infect the players. And that's what's happened. And it's been a tremendous journey. And so the process obviously is not done in that regard. I'm not too privy to it at all. I'm one of those people that did not get interviewed. And so, you know, so I really have no inside knowledge. I just know that, inside it, that obviously created some combustion. It created some downtime in regards to, you know, how our organization is depicted. But right now, it's just no summary on what has come out of it. And so, you know, we just wait and see.
Yeah. And it's just, I just think it's great that the focus has been on good people throughout the team and the coaching staff and the front office, you know, that are trying to do the right thing, you know, because you can get overwhelmed by that. You know, if it wasn't as successful, you might be overwhelmed by that, but they're so good that you can't even focus on that because they're playing so well, you know, and they're such a not just a great team, but they play such an entertaining style of basketball.
They play basketball. You know, they play it the way I think you should play. And the teams that don't, to me, are the ones that come up short. Like Utah, a big team, You would think that they wouldn't take as many threes, but they do. You know, it's like, I don't believe that threes are going to win you a title. Everybody wants to reflect back to Golden State. Well, duh. They got three of the greatest shooters in the history of the damn game on that team. Okay, and Klay, Steph, and KD. I mean, I might like to paint, but I'm not running around thinking I'm Van Gogh. people want to copy what they did, and realistically, they were balanced too. A lot of their plays started in the mid post with Klay and Steph running off of mid range shots, and they'll float out to three. So they weren't all three. And I think that's what happened. That's why I say the Warriors hurt a lot of teams because, you all know, a lot of teams like to duplicate what the best team does. But nobody wants to duplicate what the Suns do because it's not sexy. It's not sexy, but yet they keep drilling them. So sooner or later, they'll wake up.
I'm going to add to the fact that it's going to be tough to duplicate what the Suns do because I understand everybody's big, but everybody can put it in the bucket like eight. Like that's a pretty unique ability. You know what I'm saying? Like he's a such a high percentage shot maker, like from like 12 feet in. Like you heard Jason Kidd, he's like, hey man, Gobert and Whiteside, they don't put it in the hole like eight. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I do feel you, like, but the skill of the big man matters, right? Not just being big, but you gotta be able to do something with it.
Right.
It's only a few of those in the league, actually.
Yeah. DeAndre Ayton, he's made such growth, man. And obviously him not signing his extension obviously perturbed him. But I think it also boosted him. Like, every player needs some maturity. They need a maturity boost. And I actually believe he's gotten it this year. And he's pretty much automatic anywhere 12 feet on in. I mean, it's sick. Like, and I'm not comparing him to the all-time great next teammate of mine, Akeem Olajuwon. I'm not doing that. But I am comparing a part of him. That turnaround shot on his right shoulder, dude never misses it. I mean, he rarely, if I say never, then people will look at the podcast, you said never, that's a fact. Never means, like, he doesn't miss it as much, people, okay? But, you know, you got people get you. So, but he, I mean, that thing is normally going down. And he's got the jump hook.
He got the floater, too.
Yeah, he's got the floater, and he'll shoot a three.
Man.
I mean, like, he is a – if you all watch him stretch before a game, it is mind-boggling. He can he can do a split, man. I mean, this dude is limber as they come. I mean, so it's just – he's a freak athletically. He truly is. And a lot of people don't talk about him, man, but I'm telling you, this kid is going toward dominance. And I will honestly say right now, he's better than Gobert. No way the Suns would trade DeAndre Ayton for Gobert head up now. No way.
Right. All right. Well, we will follow this, and I will root for the series I want so that I can go out there and hang out in two of the great cities in North America.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Eddie, appreciate thank you for your you. Time, right, brother. As always.
Okay, appreciate it, guys.
As always. Yeah, man, good luck. Good continued travels and success. And you can hear him on Sirius XM, NBA Radio, NBA Today Show, one of the great hosts on that network. And thank y'all for listening. As always, man, leave that five-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine podcast. Marcus, as you leave to get your barbecue, if they don't want to leave that five-star review, what they need to do?
Keep it to themselves, you haters, or we're going to get EJ to troll you on Twitter.
Exactly.
Later.